Honorable Qayiso is also trying to find a place where he can connect. Right? He was driving, so he's trying to get a place where he can get connectivity. We'll note that. Any other apology? No. Okay.
No, no, Chairperson.
Yeah. So the agenda, we have water, housing, water and sanitation, making their presentation, and after that we'll engage with the presentation, and then we'll deal with the minutes of the 10th of July 2020, and that will bring us to the end of the meeting. Mr. Bowser, let's give you. I saw that in the letter. We said 20 minutes. I think we can stretch it to 30 minutes, if you so desire. Mr. Bowser, please come in and introduce your delegation. Sorry, just a second, Mr. Bowser. I would also would like to welcome the support staff, members of the media who might have joined us, and the people of South Africa who may be watching this. Good afternoon, Mr. Bowser. Please continue with your presentation.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. It's Trevor Bowser. Thank you for the invitation, and I will go through the presentation. I have one of my staff who will help to share the presentation on the screen, if that's that's in order, Honourable Chair.
Please do.
Chairperson, yes. Sorry, it's fine. I'll manage it from my side. It's fine. I already loaded it, Chair.
Okay.
There we are. Thanks, Chair. It's up on the screen. Chair, I did note that you've already recorded the apology for Minister Sisulu. I just wanted to also extend that apology on her behalf. And just also to clarify, Chair, that I'm only representing the Department of Water and Sanitation. So I will be talking to the budget and the budget adjustment to vote 41. I trust that is order, Chair.
Acting DG, if I may check, we are receiving an apology from the minister. What about the deputy minister? Deputy Ministers?
Honourable Chair, I understood that the Deputy Minister who is responsible for the Water and Sanitation portfolio, Honourable Minister David Mahlobo, that he also had another engagement. I would have expected his office just to drop a note. But that was the message I got just before the meeting. So if you could just record his apology as well, Honourable Chair.
There wasn't an apology. We didn't receive one.
So okay.
Continue.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Tlangwini.
I think let me just, on the onset, Honorable Chair, place my disappointment in the Minister's self for not attending this meeting. I can't recall in previous years that I was sitting on the portfolio of appropriations, that when we have chance to call the department, the minister just don't pitch. I may I stand to be corrected in my analysis, but I've never seen her in any of our meetings. And her department is at the center point of many of corrupt activities, number one, and at the center point now, as we are facing this pandemic, to solve out the water and sanitation problems that we are having in the rural area. So it's quite disappointing that we don't even have a deputy minister in such an important meeting. It's about time that these ministers do take the work of the Appropriations Committee serious. When we are asking them to come to our meeting, can we be also prioritized with their attendance? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable and Tlangwini. Safe to say today, there is a letter which came from the minister, and she said that she's having a bereavement at home, and I think it becomes difficult not to accept the type of an apology. But then, having said that, say to the acting DG that we'll definitely would like that next time when we interact with the department that we would like to see the minister. As I said, that when the minister is not around, we always expect the deputy minister at least to be here. So, and it's worse that we didn't receive an apology. Acting DG, you must just check with the deputy minister's office what happened, because as you are saying, we never received an apology. Okay.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. While we're in the meeting, my office has heard that, and they will just do a follow-up there as well. Thank you very much. My team that is out there supporting me also on the virtual link will be the DDGs, DDG Singh, DDG Manus, the acting CFO, Frans Moache, Baba Wamanyakanyako is responsible for our corporate planning, DDG Mahlangu, DDG Lusenga, they will be out there supporting me in the background as well. And I have from my office, Sinki, who was going to help with the slide presentation. If I could continue with the presentation, Honourable Chair.
So you count 30 minutes, that means up to 22:03.
I'm watching the time, Chair. You can red card me if I go over. I'll try and do it in quicker time. Chair, the presentation is a little bit longer in terms of slides than you asked. You asked for 20 slides. There are 35 slides, but I'll whip through them very quickly. First of all, it's the purpose, the introductory remarks, the overview of the budget, the COVID-19 interventions, and then part three will be the overview of the 2019-20 fourth quarter report. Next slide, please. In terms of the purpose, is to brief the committee on the Department's Water and Sanitation 2021 special adjustments to vote 41. Next slide, please. Chair, on the 12th of March, the department, or the minister, tabled the strategic plan for the period 2020 through to 2025, and also the annual performance plan for the period 2020 through to 2023. On the 15th of March, the President issued a statement requiring immediate response on the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. And on the 8th of July, the Department, briefed the Portfolio Committee on the COVID-19 adjustment estimates. I seem to have, on the reprioritization of the budget to combat COVID-19, an addendum to the tabled annual performance plan indicating the adjustments to the performance areas where funds were reprioritized due to COVID-19. And I can also confirm, Chair, that the, just stay on that slide, Secretary. I can just also confirm that the adjusted APP has also been tabled in Parliament, and it's has been noted in the notice. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Chair, the overview in terms of the impact of the adjustments is that an amount of $1.755 billion was taken away from the department from the original allocation, budget allocation of $17.216 billion. However, an amount of $1.498 billion was returned back to the department in terms of the revised allocation, which took us back to $16.952 billion, which means that the net decrease in the budget is an amount of $257 million. The $1.498 billion is reprioritized within the vote to further support the COVID-19 water and sanitation interventions. You recall prior to the end of the financial year, Chair, we had started a phase one COVID-19 intervention, and the allocation or the reallocation of the funds during the 2021 financial year are to continue with the phase two interventions of that COVID program. Funds will also be used to implement the source development or bulk linkage projects to replace the need for water tankering and the sustainability of water supplies post the tankering project. The phase one project, Honourable Chair, was the emergency installation or deployment of static tanks, with those static tanks being filled with a tanker service, and there was an amount of 200 million allocated to that tanker service in the in the current year 2020-2021, and in the previous financial year we'd utilized 306 million rand for that particular project. An amount of 257 million has been suspended from the departmental allocations to support the COVID-19 macroeconomic stimulus response. That 257 million, which represents the net downward reduction in the budget for the department, comprises 50 million, which will be the under expenditure or projected under expenditure from vacant posts across all programs. Given the period of shutdown, Chair, we have not been able to, in any case, not able to advertise posts and would not have been able to fill posts during the first quarter, running into the second quarter of this financial year. So that 50 million was identified as a savings. And then there's 214 million from goods and services, and then a slight increase in the payments for capital assets of seven million. So those that represents the net downward shift for the department's budget. Next slide, please. Chair, this slide is a rather busy slide, but we show the shifts by program and then also by economic classification. So if you work on the table from left to right, the second column on the left hand side indicates the original budget for the department, 17.216 million. The next column indicates the 1.755, which was suspended due to the COVID-19 intervention. And then if you go to the seventh column from the left-hand side, you'll see the 1.498 million that was reallocated for COVID-19 purposes. And then adjacent to that is the environment of 30 million, environment of 30 million, and you'll see in the second column to the coming from the right hand side is the net adjustment of 257 million. Honourable Chair, I then show those figures in terms of economic classification. If it's okay with you, I'll skip going through the figures in detail in terms of economic classification and show you on the next slide where the major shifts happened in terms of the grant programs for that 1.498 billion that was returned back into the department. Next slide, please. So, Honourable Chair, the shifts have been in relation to the grant program. If you the total grant allocation in terms of the back one, please. I've lost the slides.
Darren.
Chairperson, it seems like somebody took control of the presentation. I'm just trying to sort. I took it back, Chair. Let me go to that slide. All right. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That's the one. Thank you very much, Secretary. So, Chair, you'll see that we've scheduled the various grant programs in the department, of which there was an allocation of 13.76 billion. And the amounts that were suspended were from the direct grant, coming into the third column from the left-hand side, from the direct grant of RBIG 401.1.2 million. from the indirect grant, 408.808 million, and from the water services infrastructure grant, an amount of 689.033 million. And that brings us to the total of 1.496 billion, which was suspended. And then if you come to the fourth column from the left-hand side, you will see how those funds came back. And it's the emergency water and sanitation intervention, 401.121 million. Coming back into the RBIG COVID-19, 408.808 million, and into the emergency water and sanitation direct grant under WISIG, 689033. So we got that amount back, Honourable Chair, and we show in the column second from the right hand side. Now we just indicate the net change in each of those projects. So we remain with an allocation under the grant program of 13.376, albeit that those funds are now reassigned specifically to support the COVID-19 projects, Honourable Chair. Next slide, please. Honourable Chair, I've just indicated the changes in terms of the APP. There's some minor changes in Program 2 on the APP, where on the ecological infrastructure and the number of rivers which will have river ecostatus monitoring programs, there's a shift downwards from 83 to 69. In terms of the next item, which is the number of district municipalities with completed five-year water and service delivery plans, we had planned to do 27, and there'll be a reduction down to 10, and you'll see the ones that will be completed this year on the Eastern Cape 2, KZN 4, Limpopo 2, and the Northwest 2. Next slide, please. In terms of the water infrastructure development, and this is where most of the grant-funded programs sit, Honourable Chair, they on the regional bulk, the number of regional bulk infrastructure projects where we will have construction underway will increase from 103 to 110. The number of bulk projects which will be completed, there will be a reduction of one, and those are from 28 to 27. And Chair, those are projects which are carried through from the previous financial year and which are under construction. Next slide, please. In terms of the number of WISIG projects under construction, there were 349 projects that were identified in the original APP. There's a slight adjustment downwards to 326 in terms of the reallocation of that budget to follow the emergency water supply schemes that were implemented under COVID, but no change in terms of the budget allocation. In terms of the number of WISIG projects completed, there's an increase from 102 to 105, Chair. Next slide, please. So, Chair, just looking at the funds as they were reallocated, the regional bulk infrastructure grant, 401 million rand, those funds were reprioritized within municipalities for 15 projects under implementation, and that's to accelerate the COVID-19 response. 200 million is allocated to Rand Water to complete the COVID phase one. And that COVID phase one, Chair, I'll come to it in a later slide, where we have rolled out static tanks to various municipalities and been carting water by a motorized tanker. And that program will continue through to the end of August this year. 139.5 million for the acceleration of the COVID projects. That's the phase one. And 61.5 million for phase two projects. From the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the indirect grant, we've shifted 408.8 million. Those funds will be reprioritized for 35 projects for sustainable water supply, 100 million allocated for emergencies under phase two, and 300 allocated for the sustainable water supply under phase two. Under the WISIG, 689.033 million. 36 municipalities will reprioritize the funds and submit revised budget plans on the phase two COVID activities. So, Honorable Chair, we have, on the basis of the APP having been submitted to Parliament and signed off by the Minister, we are in the process of signing the new allocation letters, which will all be distributed to the municipalities by midday tomorrow in terms of the revised allocations. And they will then submit back to us their revised business plans in terms of the shift in the funding. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. Honourable Chair, then just looking at the phase one intervention. The phase one intervention commenced on the 23rd of March 2020, and a decision was taken to appoint Rand Water as the implementing agent for that that intervention, and we set up a command centre at Rand Water to manage the program and to monitor the rollout of the of that program. So the coverage has been through the nine provinces. The tanker delivery, we've touched on the total of 158 municipalities and districts between the 28th of March and the 28th of June. In terms of the kilometres travelled by our tankers, there's in the order just a touch above 355,000 kilometres of kilometres travelled in terms of delivering water. Looking at the amount of water delivered to communities, 740 million litres of water is delivered from the 28th of March through to the 28th of June, and that increased from the 692 million litres of water which were delivered from the 21st of June. The daily average volume of water that's moved around by tanker each day in terms of the programme is in the order of 10 million litres of water, which is higher than the peak in May of 9.95. And then we indicate the Honourable Chair, the households that have been impacted in the provinces where we have delivered water, and also the population impacted there by province. Next slide, please. That's the next slide should give you is just an indication of the of the spending and the budget to date. So the budget versus costs, 66 million during the current financial year, spent against a budget of 87 million and 119 million around on the tanks. Next slide, please. That slide, Honourable Chair, just gives us an indication of where the tanks were delivered. We do have this information detailed on a municipal basis by settlement, and we've just given you a summary in terms of the of the tanks delivered. There were 19,000 odd tanks through the overall program delivered or allocated during that time, and the tanks delivered 18,644 tanks. Tanks are still remaining to be delivered in that program, 711. The tanks that are installed are 14.497. The tanks in use, 15,615. And Chair, just to indicate why there's a difference between tanks installed and tanks in use, the tanks installed will reflect on a tank that has been fully installed with its base, whether that's a concrete base or a steel base, and with the taps installed. A tank in use might also reflect a tank which has just been placed at ground level while the base is being constructed, but we bring the tank into use during that period. And the second to last column indicates the tankers that were in use. There's 1,406 motorized tankers which are in use across the country as at 1st of July. So it's an extensive tanker fleet which is delivering water on a daily basis. Next slide, please. Just get that out of the way. I've got a bar that is so, Chair, there's we just indicate the phase two budget. I did indicate a 200 million rand budget for additional operation of tankers through to the end of August. And I just indicate the split of that budget across the nine provinces. Gauteng, 21 million, through to Eastern Cape, 7 million. And then you take that figure plus the fees and VAT, and it's 196.795 million that will be spent on the tanker service through to the end of August. Thank you, Chair. Next slide, please. Chair, that ends the budget part and the COVID-19. If I could go on to the overview of the overall fourth quarter performance of the department. We've just given a very high level indication of the department's fourth quarter performance by program. And you'll see, Chair, on program one, which is administration, we achieved 70% of our targets, 30% partially achieved. Under program two, that's planning and information, 57% of the targets achieved, 22% partially achieved, and not achieved, 21%. Under program three, infrastructure, 36% achieved, 18% partially achieved, and 45% not achieved. And under program four, the regulations, 75% achieved, 8% partially achieved, and 17% not achieved. I do have the DDGs responsible for each of those programs available, and they will be able to talk, help me to respond to any particular queries around the program four in particular. Next slide, please. How am I doing with time? Am I still in with time? And Chair, just to note that when I did the introductions, I think I might have omitted one of my DDGs, the DDG for Planning and Information, Mayor Deborah Mochotli. If I could just note her attendance as well, my apology for that. Yes, so the department.
Sorry, you asked me. I've got 8 minutes.
Okay, I'm sure I'll be finished by then, Chair. In terms of the overview of the notes to the financial performance, the department spent 92% of the 1920 budget, including the total appropriation in the is the 405 million and 306 million, which was reprioritized for drought and COVID-19. In terms of compensation of employees, the underspending, the vacant posts across all four programs, recruitment processes are underway for the filling of the posts, which are mainly critical and are core in nature and vacant due to natural attrition. But I must just say that as we that was at the end of the financial year, and as we go into the new financial year with the impact of COVID, there will be some delays in the filling of those posts. Under goods and services, the underspending was unresolved disputed invoices and contractual disputes, the outstanding work certification and verification at the end of the year, emergency drought relief interventions in Northern Cape, the assessment studies on the challenges on the wastewater pollution in the integrated Vaal River system in Gauteng, Free State, Northern Cape, and the Mpumalanga provinces. With regard to transfers and subsidies, sorry, Chair, I'm having a local drought. My throat is getting dry. The transfers and subsidies, the underspending was in the Northern Cape, Karoo, Hoogland, local municipality, the Gatsilopele, local municipality in Gamagara, with amounts of 2 million, 12.6 million, and 23.2 million, respectively. department could not transfer to the three municipalities because there were no implementation readiness studies in place and no active projects being implemented by the municipalities. And capital expenditure, also they're underspending due to unresolved disputed invoices and contractual disputes, outstanding work certification and verification, emergency drought in the Northern Cape, rollout of the completion of the remaining bucket eradication projects, and all contractual and funding arrangements finalized, and we've requested rollover funds, request for rollover funds was submitted. Next slide, please. I think that one will show the, Chair, that particular slide just shows the percentage expenditure, and as I indicated in an earlier slide, 92% expenditure, which results in a variance of 1.2 billion against the original budget allocation. Next slide, please. And sorry, just hold on to that slide. So we show that, go back to that slide, my apology. So in terms of the information that's provided, the variance is given by program, and we also show the variance in terms of economic classification. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Next slide, please. On the water trading account, likewise, we just indicate the revenue and expenditure there, and the budget there was 12.7 billion. The actual expenditure 10.9 billion, with a variance of 1.8 billion, giving us a percentage variance of 86%. And we give the variance there in terms of the program's administration right down to implementation of the dam safety program. And I do provide that information in terms of economic classification as well. Next slide, please. Chair, we've also given a summary of the infrastructure spending in terms of the major grant programs and the transfers to the public entities. And in terms of the budget that was allocated, we have a 93% expenditure, which shows a variance of 935 million rand. And I've reflected that in the variance column against the grant programs, the direct grants, and also the indirect grants where the variances were. Next slide, please. In terms of rollover funds, unspent funds, where we had contractual commitments, a rollover application has been made in terms of goods and services, and that was for the Vaal River system, the pollution assessment project, the emergency drought relief interventions on the water tankering and stock watering and project management fees, and then the payment of capital assets. That amount on the goods and services, 164.4 million, and under payment of capital assets, an amount of 486.4 million, which is in relation to bucket eradication program, 330 million, and emergency drought relief interventions for the drilling equipping and reticulation from boreholes of 155 million. So the total request for rollover funds was 650.9 million, Honorable Chair. And I think that is my last slide. It should be close to being. Next slide. Chair, that's quite a busy slide, but we've also included for information the 30-day compliance report, April 2019 to March 2020, analyzed on a monthly basis for the main account and the trading account, and the number of invoices during each month which were older than the 30-day compliance. So it's still a very unsatisfactory situation where we, at the close of the financial year, we still had 137 invoices which were beyond the 30-day requirement at the end of March on the main account, and 42 invoices on the trading account which were beyond the 30-day payment requirement. Next slide, please. Honourable Chair, that's the end of the presentation. I thank you. And if it'll be in order with you when we answer to questions, Honourable Chair, if I could also use my Deputy Directors General to also come in and assist with the response to questions.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you so much, DG. You still have got about 2-3 minutes, but I want you. I just want you before we get to the next step. In 2-3 minutes, DG, what is the story that you are telling the committee? If we're to forget everything else, what do you want us to remember? Thank you.
Chair, what I would like you to remember is that despite the poor performance in the fourth quarter, that we are putting steps in place to make sure that we don't have a repeat of that situation in the fourth quarter. And in particular, we're putting together, have a project management team put together to monitor the COVID-19 intervention, the 1.5 billion that has come back to the department, and to ensure that we don't land up with a situation where we have underperformance and do not spend the budget of the department and don't meet the APP targets. So the assurance that I would like to give you that we are taking steps to make sure that we are able to meet those targets. So that would be the parting message, Honourable Chair, that I would leave with you. But the proof of the pudding will be as you monitor us quarter by quarter through the financial year. But that's the undertaking that I would give you at this point in time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, it's your opportunity to interact with the presentation. Can I get indications who would like to have a bite? You can shout at me. I'll write down your name.
Chair Sheikh Imam.
Honorable Sheikh.
Mlenzana.
Mlenzana.
Mtangweni.
Mtangweni.
Peters.
Matafa.
Peters. Matafa.
Dennis Joseph. Jefferson.
Joseph.
Chair, it's Honourable Sarapan as well, please.
Sarapan. I've got Honourable Sheikh, Honourable Mlenzana, Honourable Ntlangwini, Honourable Peters, Honourable Matafa, Honourable Joseph, Honourable Sarapan. We have 4 minutes maximum. You're not allowed to use all your 4 minutes. You may use 1 minute. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think mm-hmm. I'm going to need that. But first of all, thank you very much for that presentation, Acting DG. I'm glad you said that maybe the DG is going to have to answer, because I think my first question you're not going to be answered. In the last 4 years or 4.5 years, we went on an oversight visit to Mount Aylif. We saw corruption alive. Every time your department appeared before us, gave us the assurance that they are going to provide us a comprehensive report which we wanted. The contract was 300,000. Eventually, after intervening, we found you saved 166,000 on a 300,000 rand contract. And we realized immediately that there was corruption there. Your department was supposed to provide us with all the relevant information. How much was budget for? When was it paid? Who were the contractors? Who's the directors of the contract and everything? To date, every time your department picks up, they promised to do that. Some of them acted like they don't know from the previous time, but they have done nothing about it. So let's hope we're going to get some answers this time. I'd like to know, what about those water tankers that there are complaints on the ground that were delivered but not delivered, but signed for, which you are actually paying for? That's the next thing I have a problem with. Now, the other thing is contracts were given to Rand Water. Could you please take us into your confidence what processes were followed in order to decide that it should go to Rand Water and not any other company? Now, when we did an oversight check, we found that many of these contracts for bulk water supply were stagnant. And the reason for that, Chair, we found was that the contractors did not have the money to pay for the raw material. And this raw material, particularly those water pipes that they use on a daily basis, Chair, was being imported from China, India, and the United States. So as a committee, we repeatedly asked the department to work with trade and industry and other role players to see whether we could create an industry to manufacture these goods that we needed, or also provide, pay for the labor, okay, and provide the material instead of the contract of standing. I want to know what is the latest development in your attempt to create jobs in the country by creating this industry for local production, but also for export market. So these are items that we use on a regular basis. Now, my understanding is about 30% of the schools have still not been delivered with the water tanks or water tankers. Could you please elaborate on that? And then I'd like you to explain, because every year we come in and we find that there's a problem with vacancies. Everybody seems to be acting, which brings instability to this department. And you know that corruption is alive. We have a capacity problem. They are not delivering the goods. Money is being spent, you're not getting the value for money. Can you tell us what measures are you putting in place to deal with that? Chair, have I used my 3 minutes or 4 minutes? I still got a minute.
You're still okay.
All right. So now the other thing is this, you always underspending. Can you tell us whether you do have a capacity problem in the different structures? And if that is the reason why you are not able to deliver. Now, I see you say that 36, I think, municipalities is going to give you a program of action and a plan. And we know that these things have been failing in the past. They were not able to do it. Fortunately, we're coming with a zero-based budgeting now, which means people will start working from the ground up. They've been taking it for granted every year, just adding on to the previous year's budget. So can you tell us how you're expecting or anticipating that you're going to actually achieve that? Let me stop there for now, sir.
Yeah, so well on time. Honorable Mlenzana.
Thank you, Chairperson. And let's welcome the presentation from the acting DG. Good afternoon, colleagues. Chairperson, let me start with this one, which is being raised by Honorable Sheikh Iman. What is this story, Acting DG, about corruption, if we could be told? Now tell us, what is it? Where are you with this? And if you have dealt with this and you have held culprits and all, let's get the detail. Charlotte, I'm looking at my notebook. It was on the 27th of November, 2019. And I had a question regarding the underspending or underperformance of the regional bulk infrastructure grants and the water services infrastructure grant then. And an answer was given, which hasn't seen any fruits being born. I want to put the same question which I asked last year, but on a different way now. If one can tell us what has been the spending performance of the regional bulk infrastructure grants and water services infrastructure grant in the last 5 years, and in case where municipalities have been constantly underspending, what has happened? What are you doing with those municipalities which are spending, but then are in need of money to complete their projects? Chair, this question of the tankers or water tanks being installed, I think the acting DG should put another column there. Tell us, acting DG, about those areas where you have got tanks which are installed but are not operational because there is no water inside the tank. How many are such and where are they located? I'm not sure how far am I, Chairperson.
Continue. You are still fine, Honorable Nizan.
Okay. Chair, I'm worried about the NDP 2030 target. One would be interested as to how far is the department with the achievement of the NDP target, and to what extent could COVID-19 related budget adjustment derail the department's efforts in this regard? And lastly, and very lastly, Chairperson, looking at, I don't want to assume that the department is overwhelmed, but I am looking at the percentage of understanding, particularly if I can just raise on one particular aspect. The fourth quarter, understanding. I hear the DG is saying at least something is going to be done. But can he talk more on this achievement of only 45% of performance in the Water Infrastructure Development Program? That is Program 3. I don't want to bore him much, Chair, on the figures, because the figures are here on the on his slide. But I'm rather more than worried when there is a total of 1.8 billion understanding in five programs out of the six programs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nenzana. Honorable Ntlangeni.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chairperson, the way the DJ has spoken painted a bleak picture on this department. I don't think this department is doing what they are supposed to do, and that is to ensure that communities and all of us South Africans have good, efficient, clean, runnable water. You know why I'm saying so, Chair? Had we not been having the pandemic currently that we are having now, COVID-19, and we had maybe a total another something else that wouldn't have required water, we would have sit with a crisis. Because this money would have been taken from the department because it's underspent and redirected to the crisis at hand. Then that money won't be able to come back to the department. And who would have suffered? The communities, the women that have to still walk to a river to go and collect water with a bucket, a woman that in the rural areas that still have to go to the river to go and do washing, to do get the same water that you do washing with to use for drinking and cooking. Those are the people that would suffer the most. Now, the underspending of the department is quite concerning, Chair, and it's a matter that we need to look deep into why in this project or program was the underspending. And were those people that are responsible for those programs, were they taken to task for not performing to what they are supposed to do? Because you have a performance plan, so obviously you as the DG haven't reached your target according to this underspending. So it's extremely disappointing, Chair. Secondly, it's also the vacant funded position that we have to come into. What is the problem that these funded positions were not filled? Did people not apply? And in which departments are these funded positions that are that are not sold. Then secondly, Chair, I think my both of my colleagues touched on the water tank tankers, and that have been up throughout the media on this water tankers that are just with absorbent prices, charging the department just with absorbent prices. What was done in that aspect that we didn't get water tankers at the cost of the market and people have just put up their prices? Then lastly, Chair, because I see your face, so it means I'm supposed to wrap up.
You still do have a minute.
That is the water tanks, the price of one water tank, two in conjunction with that, what the previous member have said of adding a column, because we need to establish as to how much are these people charging the department or municipality for these water tanks. Secondly, Chair, it's also, I now forget this question. All right, Chair, if I can have a second bite, there's a one that I also wanted to come in, but I wanted to add it there. If we still have time, can I please come back?
I will bank you a minute.
All right, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Peters.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I also would want to join colleagues in thanking the department for the presentation, but equally so echo the words earlier on of Honorable Ntlangwini with regard to the absence of the minister and the deputy and or the deputy minister, because I would believe that it is important and that we have the political leadership of the department. You would remember, Chair, that the deputy minister once came to the committee and committed to come back. So it's actually something that he owes us. To the acting DG, I'm sure you would remember that there was a World Economic Forum meeting in 2010-11, where there was an indication. At that time, the Minister of Water Affairs was Minister Mulewa. There was an indication at that particular platform that the next biggest challenge, second to energy, and also because of the water and energy nexus, the next challenge would be water, because you can't have energy if you don't have water. Equally, you can't have water when you don't have energy. So it is important for us to know, what has the department done to make it possible that you could address this particular challenge? Because like I indicate, it has a historical background. I remember that China was one of those countries that identified water desalination as one of its interventions. And Chairperson, somebody's busy muting me.
Hello. Can you
somebody is muting me? My hands are here, but the screen tells me that I'm being unmuted and muted and unmuted and muted. I don't know who it is, but there's fingers there on my mic.
Whoever he or she is, please, can you allow Honorable Peters to continue with her points? You can continue, Honorable Peters. You are protected.
Thank you, Chairperson. That finger is gone. thank you, Chairperson. So I wanted to say China identified water desalination. And I know that the Department of Water Affairs, together with one of the state-owned companies, Petros A, you invested in a water desalination initiative in Mossel Bay to address the challenges that were faced by Petros A and the community of Mossel Bay. I just want to find out, why is the department omitted for all these years to invest in long-term sustainable infrastructure interventions in water provisions? Because you would know, acting DG, that the water tankering has always been a source of fraud and corruption, a source of misappropriation of funds. At this point, you would remember the challenges that were faced by the Madibeng community with the tankering, the challenges in Northwest with tankering, the challenges all over the country with tankering. And now, with the massive rollout of tankering in South Africa with regard to COVID-19, I get surprised why we have not considered the long-term options. Like, for example, the boreholes, where there has been an indication that there is underground water in some of the communities. But also, Chairperson, I'm going to use this platform also to raise something that is very close to my heart. In the Mahareng municipality, there is the Vaal River that passes through, massive flow of water. The water treatment plant of Mahareng has been under utilized, no, under construction, I would say, because they needed to upgrade it, to an extent where even the top-up funds that the district of Francis Barr put in actually led to wasteful expenditure, primarily because they laid out the foundation of the water treatment plant, which has now rusted, and we're told it has to be discarded and new infrastructure be put in place. I want to know from the Department of Water Affairs, why is it not possible for the department to take municipalities by hand and make sure that projects are from beginning to an end delivered according to specifications, but also according to the budget? I'm also raising this. There is work that is being done in Mahareng. There is challenges because the cost of the infrastructure will be too much, primarily because of the need to cross the very river, because the plant is on the other side of the river, the community is on the other side. The infrastructure of water provision for the community has to cross the N12. Both the bridge on the river is on N8. It's owned by SANRAL. The N12 is owned by SANRAL. Why is the Department of Water Affairs, a national department, not engaging directly with SANRAL, which is a national entity, to make it possible that they can then reduce the cost of this infrastructure by looking at better alternative ways of making it possible that the pipes can cross the N12 as well as be connected to the side of the bridge? I'm raising this because this is something that is a big challenge. Honorable Tlangwini and Honorable Sheikh, as well as Honorable Mlanzana, has spoken to the issue of the cost of water tankering. This is something that tells you that it is not going to be sustainable. It is not going to be affordable. The other thing, Chairperson, with regard to the fourth quarter expenditure, it is worrying. The department says to us, they have spent 92% of the budget, but only delivered or met 55% of their targets. How possible is that? And I'm sure that in the department, there would be people who are saying that they qualify for PMDS. What would they be rewarded for when they have not delivered that on that which they've been employed to do? So it is important that we look at this particular challenges. Honorable Chairperson, the other thing is with regards to the president's call for investment and acceleration of infrastructure. What is the Department of Water Affairs, a key infrastructure department, with regard to this responding to the president's call, taking into consideration at all times the inability of the department to properly plan for this infrastructure to an extent where money is reprioritized or rolled over consistently? So we want to know, what is the department going to do? Infrastructure development is a key job driver. And if we want to create
jobs,
Chairperson, in conclusion, if we want to create jobs, we need this department to really deliver on its mandate. What happened to the Working for Water initiatives that equally used to be a major job creator in the small communities with water-related challenges And it works even better than the EPWP. There was more interventions that were visible. We could see furniture from the wood that were produced from the trees that were alien. We could see coffins also being made and a school furniture and all that. What happened to that program? And if there's another opportunity, Chairperson, I'll come back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Peters, Honorable Matafa.
Hi, Honorable Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well, thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. No, my problem is the same as Honorable Peters. I was muted by someone in the meeting, but now I'm happy that it's unmuted. I think, Chair, most of the questions that I had were covered by honorable members who spoke before me. Maybe just for the sake of completeness, on the issue of the transfers and subsidies underspending, I'm interested to know if whether will I be correct if I say that with the point on three municipalities that were unable to spend due to them not having implementation readiness studies, were the funds earmarked for these municipalities allocated to these municipalities because they had identified programs or they did not have programs before they have implementation readiness studies? And the second point would be just to find out, in the media we've learned of a process where it was said that procurement has been centralized. Does it apply to water and sanitation? And if so, how would this process enable the department to assist these municipalities that are unable to spend on their allocated funds due to not having implementation readiness studies? Because for me, I believe that the inefficiencies of these municipalities, if it leads to money being withdrawn, it means that subsequently the service that could have been enjoyed by the residents is also being withdrawn. So my interest is to find out how is Water and Sanitation Department going to help these particular municipalities to be able to spend the money that is identified and allocated to them. But in the main, Chair, most of my questions are asked, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Oral Matafa. Oral member, can you mute the oral member who's I can hear the little ones at the background. Just make sure that you mute. Thank you. I know we're invading their space, but please mute your mics. Can I allow Honorable Joseph to come in?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I would like just to start off with the closing statement of the official, Mr. Trevor Bowser, about the poor performance of the fourth quarter. Now, the COVID-19 started here middle of March, and towards the end of March, the official announcements were made. So the fourth quarter, which is from December till March, is actually what we need to look at if we look at the fourth quarter and not necessarily COVID-19 per se. And I've heard that there is obviously issues with the new recovery team, management team, but I want to maybe link on to the first speaker member, Shiaq Imam, about the capacity problem and the history problem, a legacy problem. And obviously he spoke about his experience in the previous term, which we followed in the newspaper and the media reports. And it was political leadership. We have to be honest, because I'm not sure if these all the officials that are there with us today, if they were there in the previous term. They may be, some maybe not, but it was political leadership that we have to admit up front. And the parliament had this role to play, to zoom in onto this department. And what we hear is important, but what we do not hear is equally important. Because a lot of the things just went past fast track in this presentation. I want to support the value for money on the water tanks, Chairperson. We cannot be called a country of water tanks. That's a short term, and it's not going to last. And the department must come up with a long-term plan. I want to speak on the eradication of the bucket program. I think there's about 330 million that's also a rollover. It's probably a legacy project, and the department must just also update us on what happened there. It probably was part of the oversight visits in the previous term. I picked up that there were more tanks, Free State and Northwest, there were more tanks in use than it was installed. Now, I got an explanation from the official, but I think what we should see on that same slide is maybe perhaps the second part of that slide should be termed as mobile tankers. Was that what I saw the difference after listening to the official? Some is installed and some is like mobile tankers that takes water to the communities. That would help us, showing us the difference. And then the Vaal River System pollution project, which is on there, I think there's a 20 million rand that's rolled over. I would like to know what is the status of that Vaal River System, because it affects quite a number of municipalities. What is the amount still going to be spent on that project? When will it be finished? Is the South African National Defence Force still involved there? Are they finished? The time frame of that project, was that long term, is very important for that municipalities. And my last point, Chairperson, on slide 25, I think it was the slide 20. It was a slide on the 30-day payment. 30-day payment, yes, slide 25. I think we need to know the reason for that 337, I think it was said. What is the reason for these, that the department is struggling to comply with 30-day payments? Are there any disputes? Are there any legal disputes? What is the expense of these legal disputes? Are there small businesses involved in this outstanding payments, which is very critical to grow the economy? So I would like just to get some feedback on that as well. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Joseph. Honorable Sarupen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My questions are as follows. With regards to vacancies in the department, I'd just like to know how many of those vacancies are for critical skills and to ensure frontline services are delivered, engineers, technicians, and those sorts of things. And because we don't really get an indication on the slide as to what the number and nature of the positions that are vacant are and what they do, and whether this is hindering the department's performance. Chair, my second question is with regard to the functionality of water boards. What is the current status of the water boards? How is that functioning during COVID? What is going on with them? How many of them are dysfunctional? I think we needed that information. And then my third question, Chair, is with regards to unspent funds and the rollover of unspent funds in the bucket toilet eradication program. What is the current status of bucket toilets across the country? And they had previously committed in the previous term, Chair, to eradicating bucket toilets in the Free State province. Has this been achieved, and what other issues still exist with bucket toilets across the country that the department's identified, particularly in this time of crisis, where we really need to ensure that people are able to take care of their health and not have to use bucket toilets? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Sarpen. Can I just check? Honorable Sheikh, would you like to add anything? Honorable Sheikh?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I just like the department to say, tell us, in light of everything that they have heard from us, whether they are able to put in a process in their own department to ensure, because I can tell you we're speaking to Treasury and to many other departments, are you able to put your own process and mechanisms in place to ensure that you're getting value for money, that the prices you're paying for goods are market related? Because I just want to advise you that I'm told we lose about 40% on goods and services, which is running over 240 billion rand a year in South Africa, because we don't get that. Now, this committee is tired of asking different people to do it. So we want to ask you, this corruption is also rife in your department. And with due respect to you, DG, acting DG, I think we have confidence that even you will make a difference, but this acting position is affected. So are you able to put some additional measures in place for us to ensure? And if you need the assistance of this department, indeed, we can to be able to put something so you get value for money and cut down the cost that is, of doing business, particularly in the department, so we can deliver more to the people. Please let me know that one particular question. I'd very much be interested in seeing your response to that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Romlenzana?
Thanks, Mr. President. Just one last thing, Chair. If the acting DG could just update me on two schemes, the Umzimvubu water scheme in the Eastern Cape, and also the Bizana Dam water scheme, which I know this latter one is that it is done. It's only the question of opening up water so that the people in that area can just benefit. It's just those, Chair. But lastly, Chair, if I can just check for my own record, do we have any representation from Team Treasury here, particularly the one person who is responsible for water and sanitation? I'm checking this. I will come back if there is any. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, Darren has just indicated to me that there is Miss Britain from National Treasury. Miss Britain, you are welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson, would you give me 30 seconds then, if she's in?
Yeah, please.
I just would like to get the Team Treasurer's expression on what we have said, particularly on the consistent and constant underspending or underperformance of the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Nhlanhweni.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, my last 2 points is to the acting DG. Is there any cases that is aware of corruption where the department have take active steps, maybe criminal steps, and the case numbers thereof? If he can't give it to us now, he can do it in writing. And then a list of companies that have received contracts for provisioning of water tankers. Two, that if he doesn't have it now, he can also give us that in written response. And then the last one, Chair, is just to also yet again emphasize on the underspending. Were these acting the DGs or the DDGs, were they taken to task for why was there such a huge amount of underspending? So yeah, that is the last 3. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Robert Langwin. Robert Peters.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question would just expand on what Honorable Langwine has raised with regard to the committee being provided with a list and status of companies that have been contracted for the tankering services. But also, I just want to the acting DG to add on whether there are local companies that has been benefited from this particular procurement initiative. But also, how much does this service providers charge the department per tanking or per tanker services? Because it is important that we look at the tankering services holistically, including those that provide the water consistently. Lastly, I just want to find out, Chairperson, whether these tanks are periodically or at different intervals being decontaminated so as to avoid a situation where we would later be dealing with another challenge, possibly of diarrhea or cholera.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Honorable Matafa.
And you are just more
no, sorted, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Joseph.
I'm covered, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Sarupen?
I'm covered, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. Let me also deposit my questions to the acting DG. When you look about, when you talk about the Vaal River and its pollution, it has been said to us that most of the private companies there are responsible for that. So the polluter pay principle, do you apply and how do you apply it? Number two, I just want to check that from the department side, do you have any idea when you'll be able to come to this committee, to parliament, and say the bucket system has been done and it's over? There is no family which is subjected to that inhumane type of a thing. Exactly what is the problem? And we're still when the rollovers. But I'm just saying, can you take this committee into confidence and say, based on our plans, we think we may be done by such and such a time. Acting DG, in our main engagements, even with other departments and institutions, we have said one very glaring skill deficiency in South Africa is project management. This you see, for instance, by project overruns in terms of money, others going to billions, for instance, if you take Eskom. Again, I know the Transnet pipeline, again, we have the same, you know, the same problem. And you also have got the same problem. So if I were to say project management is one of the most deficient skills in South Africa, would you agree? And if you agree, the next question would be, what are you doing about it? with that, for instance, it's a question, what critical skills do you think really we need for us to be able to effectively and efficiently provide water to our people? I don't know, DG, whether you saw the letter that we wrote. Obviously, you saw it to the department. We said we also wanted to be appraised about what is happening with the broad-based black economic empowerment in your department. We are very much interested in knowing exactly who gets preferred when it comes to the provision of goods and services in the department. I think the one thing that we're stressing is that the economic situation in the country such that the skewed ownership of the economy. And we have identified the budget as one instrument that is in our hands as government to try and correct that. Can you provide us as to exactly what is happening in the department? And when you do that, we see this thing of companies which are said to be empowered. You have to tell us how many of the black companies are getting work from you, how many of the women-owned companies get work from you, how many of youth-owned companies get work from you, and how many of people living with disabilities get work from you? If we could have that a breakdown. We've said as this committee that it's when we measure performance of departments and the effectiveness of the money that we appropriate, we want to see its role in as far as transforming the economy is concerned. You do talk about the variances in a number of areas, but you seem to be very thin into explaining what is the cause of that variance and what are the corrective measures that we are having so that we don't have the repeat of that. Perhaps in the same vein, you may just have to say how many of those things are repeats. And lastly, I think from my side would be latching on what the honorable members have said, that there are many vacancies that are also not being filled. And by the way, unemployment in this country is very high. We have a lot of graduates who are out there trying to find employment, but we're having a department which is saving a lot of vacancies, not because there's no money, perhaps for other reasons, but one, can we have some time frames when those vacancies are going to be filled? And two, if you could share with the committee the impact of not filling those vacancies. DG, you have got time, and there are a lot of questions, and where you can provide us with answers now, please don't try to make us go away. Say so that you don't have time, because then we'll be knowing that you'll be providing that in writing. Can you try to go? And National Treasury, I think I want National Treasury to come first and answer that question that was asked by Honorable Sheikh, if I'm not mistaken. And then from there, I'll allow the acting DG to come in. National Treasury?
Thank you, Chair. The question was from Honorable Mlenzana around the underperformance in the department. So it's a little difficult to kind of talk about persistent underperformance when we also know that this is a department that is in the process of rebuilding. And honorable members will recall that in 2016-17, or was it 17-18, the department had significant and overspending on their budget. What we also had with the department was significant overcommitments. The audit reports were talking about internal controls that was lacking, project management and program management capabilities within RBIC that was lacking. And what the departments had to do in the last 2 to 3 years is have to rebuild that. With rebuilding that, is putting the internal controls in place, is basically setting up the new systems for making sure that when payments are made, somebody's verified that the work has happened on the ground. Somebody has verified that the way the contractor was appointed is consistent with the rules, and that comes time and rebuilding the confidence in the system that has basically resulted in, you know, payments being late, the department not spending, and having to rebuild that culture. I mean, I have full confidence. So as you can see from some parts of what's happening within the RBIC program, that the department will get to kind of previous years where spending is inconsistent with planning and performance. So I mean, I think what we have to do is give the department some time to kind of institutionalize the processes that they've had to kind of rebuild, that would then allow us to then see better performances going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Britton. I haven't consulted with my colleagues, but that reason or excuse is just not acceptable. We have got the whole department, you have got professionals there and so on. You can't say over 3 years there's a process of rebuilding. The laws of this country are straightforward. Everybody who comes there knows what's happening. And in any case, let's not pretend as if there's completely new leadership there, except for the political leadership. Everybody else has been there. So I think that reason is definitely not acceptable, Ms. Britton, with due respect. Can I allow the acting DG to come in? And let me say, by the way, there is no time that we are going to give anybody to rebuild. There are laws which are there. When somebody gets employed and so on, it can't be an excuse. Our people can't say, no, we're still waiting for the department, it's rebuilding. Can I allow the acting DG to come in?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. As I requested earlier on when I started my presentation, if I could also use my DDGs to also come in and provide some of the answers to a very long and comprehensive list of questions asked by your by the honourable members, and I will try and group the questions for each of the DDGs to respond. Chair, will that be in order if I do it that way?
That's perfect. I think DG, you are in your hands. Do it in the most optimal and efficient and conclusive way that you think that you and your team can give answers to this committee. And can I also just request one addition? the DDGs who are going to be responding with you can also say, tell us how long have they been with the department.
Thanks, Chair. I will do so.
Chairperson?
Yes, yes, Honourable
Chairperson. Also, how long has he been acting? Because he has been acting since last year from that meeting that they go dead. Acting DG himself.
Okay. Acting DG, you'll answer that, and also starting with you, tell us how long you've been with the department.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, let me start with myself if I could. I've been acting from the 30th of June of this year. The substantive acting DG is off with the COVID-19 issue, and the minister recalled me to come in and act for a short while he goes through that recovery stage. So I've been sitting in the chair here for 16 days in this acting position. I did previously act at times in the department while I was in full, while I was prior to my retirement, Chair.
DG, sorry, not putting you on the spot. I just want to check that. So, is the department that you are quite familiar with? So, you are experienced in the department.
Chairperson, indeed, I joined the department in 1995, so I am very familiar with the department. And I've been in the public service for 43 odd years, Chair.
Please proceed.
So, Chair, I will rely on my DDGs to come in, and I will call them in. I just want to deal with some overall issues first with regard to water security and the long-term planning. And they were touched on in the main, not only by Honourable Peters, but the other members also touched on them when they make reference to the fragility of the tanker service. Just in terms of the long-term planning, I must just raise and indicate to the committee that in November last year, Minister Sisulu launched the National Water Plan for South Africa, which is intended to take us through 2030 and beyond in terms of water security. And there are a number of interventions which she has prioritized to be implemented certainly during her term of office. And as part of that plan is related to the water mix. And I'm going to touch very briefly on the issue that Honourable Peters raised around desalination. As part of that plan, we are looking at the overall water mix. Currently, the country relies very heavily on surface water as its main source of supply, and then followed by groundwater. But we are looking at a shift in that water mix to lean more heavily on groundwater and also bring desalination as an alternative source of water, or not an alternative, as an additional source of water. And as Minister, Honourable Peters has made reference to the plant that was put in place in Mossel Bay, there are other plants that we've done since then up on the west coast at Bitterfontein. We did some in the Southern Cape in Knysna and Sedgefield, and also during the drought we put in a plant at Richards Bay for desalination. During the drought, there were also desalination options put in the city of Cape Town. But that's part of the long-term long-term planning in terms of the department. We are also, Honourable Chair, going through some restructuring in the department. The minister has led a process to guide us on the restructuring of the department in terms of the spread of works amongst the current DDGs. And what we will also be reintroducing into the department is a new post which will focus on the water services, which is the municipal infrastructure space. And it's really going back to an organizational nomenclature which we had in the department pre-2005, where we had a specific focal point in the department to deal with the municipal space, looking at water services. We also, in terms of that reorganized structure, are repositioning ourselves in terms of the regulatory functions which the department performs. And members raised issues around the pollution of the Vaal and pollution of the wastewater treatment works. So that repositioned regulatory function will also be will also deal with those particular issues currently under the leadership of DDG Singh. So just those issues, just by way of a broad overview, Chair, of the long-term planning, and then also in terms of just a repositioning of the department with regard to some of the functions. One of the difficulties that we found, or particularly with the COVID-19 intervention, Chair, and is the fact that you've got 63%, only 63% functionality of the infrastructure within the municipal space. And that really has exacerbated the position currently in the COVID-19 pandemic we're dealing with. And that is why we had to step in and do the emergency intervention on static tanks and water tankering. It's not the ideal situation. We should be putting in water supplies which are more sustainable and linked in to the municipal infrastructure. But that's what we're going to do now during the phase two. But because of the breakdown of infrastructure at the municipal level, we had to intervene, and this is the only way we could intervene in a short term to make sure that water supply was available for those basic COVID-19 requirements of being able to wash hands and sanitize and do and follow those protocols. And Honourable Peters is quite correct, and she raises the issue and in Madibeng and the and in relation to the. The misuse of the water tankering system. So through the Rand Water Program, we've certainly ensured that we've got much tighter control of the 1,400 tanks which have been deployed and tankers under that program. But I can't categorically say and look you in the face, Chair, and say that there has been no misuse of those tankers. I'm sure that there have been cases even now during COVID-19 that there's been the misuse of tankers as well. So I would never be able to look you in the face and say we've taken out all of the bumps in that regard. The reallocation of the 1.5 billion from the grant funded programs will essentially take us forward on the COVID-19 phase one interventions and make sure that those supplies are sustainable and we can cut back on the tanker service, which is, in any event, the tanker service being run by the department will be phased out hopefully by the end of August. The question was raised by Honourable Sheikh in terms of the why Rand Water. Rand Water is one of the entities of the department. It's a very competent entity of the department, one of our biggest water boards. And they were able to mobilize very quickly, and they had infrastructure in place where they could mobilize a command center, which would be able to give us a ready overview of what the situation was across the country as we rolled out the program. So they were given a delegated responsibility for the procurement of the tanks and the motorized tankers for the delivery of water, and they went out on a procurement basis to procure those services. But my colleague, DDG Leonardo Manus, will give more information on that program and in terms of what we are going to be doing sustainability of those projects going forward. So Rand Water were not procured on a tender basis. They are an entity of the department, and the minister then directed that Rand Water should be the entity used to lead the attack via a command center on the COVID-19 a pandemic response. So, Chair, if I could just with those introductory response remarks, then ask my colleague, the acting CFO, first of all, to come in and deal with the financial related questions that have been raised. And if he could, I'm not going to repeat them all, but if he could cover on the financial related questions. And I would also ask him to respond to the very last issue, or second to last issue, which Honourable Chair, you raised around procurement and the advancement of broad-based Black economic empowerment. He has the honor of leading our departmental bid adjudication committee. So he runs the process in the department around procurement. And if he doesn't have those figures available, we'll certainly be able to pull those figures up for the past year and provide you with an indication of the tenders awarded and what the profile of ownership is in terms of the contracts awarded, and also how we've responded to women-owned enterprise, youth-owned enterprise, and also enterprise of persons with disability. So, Honourable Chair, if I could ask Frans Moache to step in and respond on the financial questions, that's in order with you. Thanks, Chair. I see you nodding. Frans, can you come in, please? There he comes in. Thanks, Chair. I'm going to mute myself now and take myself off screen as well. Thanks, Chair.
I said to in your hands now, please continue to your team until such time that you say you are finished, and then you are bringing back my meeting back to me.
Honourable Chair, I will certainly do that. Thanks for that. I just don't want to ignore your role as the chair of the committee. It's quite difficult running these virtual meetings, and one tends to revert to the normal meeting procedure where you're always deferring yourself to the chair when you're sitting around the chair at the table. But thanks for that. Frans, can you proceed?
Yes. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. Members, my name is Frans Moatse, the acting chief financial officer. We've been asked to introduce ourselves also in terms of the period in which we've been with the department. I've joined the department in 2012, and I've been acting as the CFO of the department for 2 years. I will go through the question and try to summarize where possible. I'll start with the procurement. Already the acting DG spoke to the procurement on the water tankering. The department has appointed Rainwater as an implementing agent, and the procurement processes followed by Rainwater are in line with the procurement framework as issued by National Treasury. And as indicated, we shall provide details regarding the specific companies that have been appointed for this project throughout the country. That has been noted. And then also on the procurement aspects, to refer to the BEE as well as the empowerment, the department does have targets. It's also included in our report, the 30% target for the BEE-rated companies. The specifics of how many of those members which received the awards are Black-owned, which are emerging, which are youth, women, people with disabilities. I will certainly ensure, Chairperson, that through the DG, that that information, that detail is provided as requested. I will then move over to the areas around under expenditure. Indeed, the department has underspent during the period that Chairperson, we are reflecting on, the period ending 31st March. One of the reasons for under-expenditure around the compensation of employees is on the restructuring, placement, and positioning of the employees within the organization. I think our CC, our chief, our head of HR will speak to that. So there are vacancies that the department had to reprioritize, reconsider alignment between head office as well as the provinces. So that speaks to the under expenditure on compensation of employees. Also under goods and services, Chairperson, the department requested national treasury in the first quarter of the, in the last quarter of the 2019-20 financial year, to reprioritize an amount of 300 million towards a drought in the Northern Cape. Approval was granted, if I remember very well, around February, and the department appointed Sidibeng Water to implement that project. Unfortunately, due to the processes that they had to follow, at the end of the financial year, we haven't spent those funds. However, commitments have been made by the implementing agent on behalf of the department. Also, there were other interventions in the Eastern Cape as well as Limpopo, which led to the request for a rollover that acting DG referred to. The rollover request, one of the factors that contributed to this request is the delays in the procurement process that we had to undergo. There are reforms that the department has put in place to ensure that procurement is in line with the frameworks issued by National Treasury, and as well working with our implementing agents. So all those funds that were committed by 31st March, and of which we comply with the requirements that has been set by National Treasury for rollover, have been included in the request for rollover. They contributed to the under expenditure. There was also a question, let me see if I've touched everything on expenditure, on the rollovers that has been covered. And the procurement, the centralization of the procurement, acting DG spoke to that, that Randwater has been appointed, as I said, as the implementing agent. So all the procurement is being processed through the Randwater as an implementing agent. However, they do appoint service providers, their companies that have been appointed in line with the procurement framework. Also included in the rollover is the Vaal River system. Treasury did also allocate money for the department to ensure that there is a holistic review of the Vaal River pollution, and of which my program manager will speak to. So those funds were committed at the end of the financial year. And I must emphasize that, Chairperson, I think one of the challenges is that most of these commitments were only effected in the last quarter of the year, hence the rollover and related underspending. The other question relates to 30 days payments that was raised by the committee, that there is a challenge. We have included the slide on the 30 days, what one can take from the slides is that the department meets all its obligations in terms of 30 days payments for your normal and budgeted projects. We do, however, have a chairperson, those historic projects, mainly the whole leaks project, some of the interventions in the municipalities, notably in Limpopo, in the Giyane area, as well as the Bembe area. We also had interventions for operations and maintenance in the KZN area. So those interventions led to an increase of costs, which the implementing agents had to claim back from the department. And unfortunately, those amounts were not budgeted for, and they led to a process now of reprioritization during the adjustment budget, and most of those invoices remain unpaid. And one of the decisions that the department has taken as part of the financial recovery plan is that no payments would be processed if there is no budget. That also speaks, Chairperson, to the levels of unauthorized expenditure, that in the previous financial years, we had a high amount of unauthorized expenditure. So had we proceeded with the payment of those invoices, it could have led to continued contravention of the Public Finance and Management Act. So the unauthorized expenditure remained, I'll speak to that later on, at 641 million, which was incurred in the previous financial years, since we are adhering to the budget prescripts. And I must indicate that all these old invoices, they are being considered through budget reprioritizations in year, and also as we do the MTF budget. The other questions related to the programs, there was issues around corruption. I can only speak to that in relation to incidents of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure, as I've indicated, is 641 million that we have reported, and 16 billion of irregular expenditure, of which, Chairperson, the department finalized investigations to the value of 9.5 billion. And out of those investigations, the department applied to National Treasury for condonation. Some of those applications are subject to finalization of investigations by the police as well as the SIU. There was also a request earlier on that the department should assist and provide the committee with the information around cases that have been opened. We have taken note of that, and that information will be provided. So out of the 16 billion incurred on irregular expenditure for both accounts, 9.5 billion, the department took action against the responsible officials. The same applies for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure incidents. And through engagement with Treasury, condonation is in process. We have already received, I must indicate, Chairperson, responses from National Treasury. Some of these cases, because of the involvement of the SIU, they are still in progress. And there are other incidents where we have to finalize disciplinary processes that are in progress. Mr. Baza, I think I've covered overall. If I've missed any of the questions, I will certainly respond to those with your permission, thank you.
Franz, if you could just touch on the question that was raised by Honorable Matafa in relation to the centralization of the, I think, centralized procurement. And I think that that might have related to the water tankers, but just talk to that quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Baza. The issue of centralizing the procurement, amongst others, was to make sure that we gain efficiencies from bulk buying. And this also includes issues that we had to deal with the incidents of corruption that we have picked up through a lack of control. So one of the measures of ensuring that we proactively avoid weaknesses in the system was to try and have a centralized procurement system through Randwater. And Randwater, with the procurement, I can confirm, Chairperson, that there is engagement of localized procurement. There is collaboration between Randwater and the other water boards of the department during the procurement processes. So this was more to ensure that we gain efficiencies. And issues around the pricing as well, I must confirm, Chairperson, that the prices that were indicated earlier on, there are prices that are issued by National Treasury. The Chief Procurement Officer has guidelines. All the procurement that we are implementing is also in line with the instruction notes, the guidelines that have been issued out by the Chief Procurement Officer. And I'm sure that there were efficiency gains in the process. As Acting DG indicated, there might have been challenges there and there, but the intention really was to make sure that we do gain efficiencies. And I must also emphasize that the procurement had to be expedited because it was an incident of a case of emergency. It happened during the end of March when the lockdown was pronounced. So there had to be measures to control the procurement, but also to respond to the challenge of the lockdown, which was announced late in March. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Franz. I just want to bring Emelise Nazar in, Chair, who's our audit head, just to supplement to what Franz has said around the disciplinary cases. Thanks, Emelise. Can you come in?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Balser, as well. Yes, we've got 20 police cases or SAP cases currently that is being investigated. On the matters that has been closed, we will actively also then engage on a quarterly basis with the SAPS to make sure that there are traction on each of these cases. During the 2019-20 financial year, we were able to recover approximately 966,000 rand thus far through the forensic investigations that was conducted. We've also trained from a proactive point of view 900 officials within the department in relation to fraud, what to be aware of, and also how to report fraud-related matters. And then we also, the investigations that was conducted amounted to 3.2 billion rand worth of work, of which about 1.4 billion rand worth of work was related to preventative reviews that was performed prior to any expenditure being incurred by the department. So there is a lot of proactive work being done in these particular cases. We also have regular consequence management meetings whereby we follow through on disciplinary action. So I don't know if there's any other related questions that I can address, but that is just a brief overview of what has been done during the 1920 financial year. And from a forensic point of view, we have also conducted 42 investigations during this year. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Emelise. Thanks, Honourable Chair. I'm now going to ask the DDG responsible for planning, Ms. Deborah Mochotli, to come in and just address some of the planning issues, and in particular the one issue raised by Honourable Peters around the investment and key infrastructure programs and the long-term planning in the department. And just before she comes in, Honourable Chair, Honourable Peters also raised issues around the Working for Water program. I must just state that the Working for Water program is not with the Department of Water and Sanitation. That's a Department of Environment Affairs program. So we don't have any custodianship over that program, albeit that we do get the benefit of improved water supplies in areas through the as a result of the program. So if I could ask Deborah Mochotli to come in. Deborah, please come in.
Thank you, Mr. B. Good afternoon, members of the committee, or honorable members. My name is Deborah Mochotli. I am responsible for water and sanitation planning and information management in the department. I joined the department.
Deborah.
Hello.
Deborah.
Hello.
Ms. Buthelezi, I was just wanted to check. Do you mind switching on your video? If you do, don't switch it on.
You're making it difficult because you say if I do, I mustn't. Okay.
No.
All right, okay, Chair, as long as you understand that this is the COVID.
No, I was saying I also know that the saloons have just been open, so if you prefer not to. It's okay.
It's a COVID face that you will see, Honorable Chair. You next time you will meet me after COVID, it will be a different face.
It's okay.
I said my name is Deborah Mochotli. I'm responsible for water and sanitation planning and information management in the department. Now, the background to the issue of sustainable water or water security in the country did not just start with the master plan. It started way back with what the National Water Act mandates us to do, that is the development of the National Water Resource Strategy. Now, in that strategy, we are currently at version 2 of the strategy and about to finalize version 3 of the strategy. It's a 5-year strategy. In that, you will see a number of infrastructure projects that are planned for, and it doesn't even indicate as to when that particular infrastructure is to start yielding water to South Africa. Now, the master plan came about as a result of us as national having infrastructure planning. Then you have a local government, which is our municipality and water services, called water services authorities, also having infrastructure plans. And then there was this juncture, because you will find that when we finish a bulk infrastructure, the municipalities don't have plans in place nor a budget to start with the reticulation project. So then we thought the best would be then for us to come up with a master plan that addresses the entire country. It is not the master plan to be implemented by the department. It is to be implemented by the sector, which means it includes the water services authorities. It includes even our own entities, water boards, as Mr. B had made mention or an example with Rentwater. So that is what the master plan would have. We started with it being the master plan for water. But then when the sanitation joined us from the Department of Human Settlement, then we expanded it to include even sanitation. So as it stands, it's the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan. You will find that other provinces have their own water master plans, and some water services have their own master plans. But all those are subservient to the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan. That's why we call it that way. Now, how do we arrive at a project in water, or how do we arrive at saying we need an infrastructure development of a particular nature? We do what is called reconciliation strategies. The reconciliation strategy would give you what the catchment, that particular catchment yields, and what the demands are currently, and what the projected demands are. And from there, then we arrive at when will the infrastructure, new infrastructure or infrastructure development be needed in that place. And we, in the meantime, especially that we know that we've got capacity issues, be it human and financial resources, what we do is, the first thing that we do when we do the, after the recon strategy, it is water efficiency and demand management. So we put in place, work together with the municipality and other water users there, means of saving water so that it can take us a bit longer before, or take us to a point at which we'll be able to deliver on infrastructure there. However, it must be noted that we did have some issues with development. There were some delays on the development side of the infrastructure after we had completed planning, which is one of the things that are also adding to the current shortages. But according to the master plan, we are not yet in danger. So in other words, we cannot talk of a crisis as yet in South Africa. And we are hoping that we, with the master plan, we are going to work faster to make sure that we do not get to a crisis point. I hope I have clarified the water resources side. On the water services side, as I've already indicated, that municipalities or water services authorities would have the water services development plans or master plans, as they would call them. In that instance, our role is to assist them in developing those structures. And there is also some sort of process that we follow with them on the development of those. For example, we do a feasibility study with them. We also do an implementation readiness study with them. It is just a pity that certain things happen in the process that then the projects get to be stop, start. But otherwise, there are processes in place that we follow in the department to assist municipalities. Mr. B, I hope I have covered.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, it's me again. Thanks, Deborah. I'm now going to call on DDG Singh, who is responsible for regulation, to talk about the pollution issues and also address the question that was raised around the polluter pays principle. Neil, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Take it, Anil.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Acting DG. My name is Anil Singh. I'm Deputy Director General for Regulation in the Department of Water and Sanitation. I was appointed as a DDG in September of 2013. In the space of regulation, we are dealing with pollution. We're dealing with water quality, and certainly enforcing the universal principle of the polluter pays, which is to take action against the polluter or the person who caused, the company that caused the pollution. And then we do that in terms of preventative, sometimes obviously monitoring of the pollution. The big challenge and the big issue for us is to deal with pollution by the municipalities. We apply the process of intergovernmental relations to try and support municipalities to ensure that they are compliant and support them in terms of financial support. But when they are non-compliant, then we are able to take possibly administrative action first, and then later on, as a last resort, criminal action. And that there's a report that we can provide to the Appropriations Committee that details the action that we've taken against these municipalities. But as I've indicated, we don't do it as a first resort. We do it as a last resort in terms of supporting municipalities. Then in terms of the question that was also asked, in my portfolio, I'm also responsible for the oversight and governance of the water sector entities, such as the water boards, the TCTA, and the catchment management agencies. I can say that Rand Water is certainly the largest water board. Its footprint is Gauteng, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and certainly able to deal with major projects and has great capacity within the board. The question was asked, the chairperson, about the water boards and the impact of the COVID-19. All the water boards are functional and they're operating. There have been one or two cases where the staff were infected, with the COVID-19, and then they had closed the particular board for a day or two to deal with the cleaning and to sanitize the buildings, etc., for safety. But they have the water boards are in fact operating, and they are in fact functional and trying to serve the bulk water needs during the time of the COVID. I think that is all from my side. Thank you, Acting DG. Back to you.
Thanks, Anil. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm now going to ask DDG Squire Mahlangu, who is responsible for corporate support, to come in. Squire, are you there? Can you come in? Chair, as he's coming in, that was a question that wasn't asked, but I'm going to ask him just also to address the impact of COVID on our offices and the fact that we can quite depend. The fact that we have to, from time to time, close offices for decontamination. So, Squire, if you could just lead in on the impact of our offices and then deal with the questions that were raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. The structure of the department has 7,865 employed people on the Public Service Act, and then it has another 2,938 people employed on contract for construction work. And out of those 2,938, 197 are experts. They are engineers and the likes that deal with construction that we do throughout the whole country. The construction employees are normally hired from various areas. So if we're constructing in Tzaneen, we'll hire people in Tzaneen. If we're constructing in Polokwane, we'll hire people in Polokwane to do the job for us. And when they are finished, then we release them from their jobs. The unfunded posts were 747, but every year, if you haven't filled the unfunded posts, you have to cut them. So at the moment, the only funded posts that we have are 470, which we want to fill this year, especially considering that of the 470 posts that we want to fill, a number of them are senior management staff employees in regulations in particular and some in finance. We have 179 senior managers in the department. And normally, what we normally say, don't say to people all over the country, and in particular to Parliament, is that out of the 179 senior management employees, 37 of them are chief directors. So the department is really having a lot of people that are intellectually capable and strategic in their knowledge of water and related matters. The vacancies in regulations are important that we fill, because the municipalities are not dealing very well with the issue of the water treatment plants, and we really need to concentrate on doing that and making sure that we have the police, the necessary police, to do that in terms of regulations. We intend filling in those posts as soon as possible, but obviously the fact that we, in 4 years, have had to change the structure quite regularly is the problem. You would recall that we had Minister Molewa, who has already passed away, and then we had Minister Mukonyane, and then we had Minister Nkwinti, now we have Minister Sisulu. And in all instances, normally when ministers come in a department, the issue of the structure comes into play, the top management. At the moment, we have a new structure that has been approved. Every employee that senior management has been asked to send in their CVs and a choice of three posts that they would want to be positioned in. We will be looking into that. We're finalizing that. and we'll be positioning them into those positions, and then only then will we then start advertising the vacancies that exist at senior management level. We hope that the whole process should be completed in the next 6 months, and that we should have every senior management post filled at that time. The necessarily having to do what we do with the senior managers' employees' consent. That's about it in terms of the structure. The major issue on the structure has always been the dangers of what is it, not the dangers, the requirements of water for a particular time in our country. At the moment, we have COVID, and therefore we've been supplying tanks throughout the whole country to make sure that people can wash their hands and that people have water so that we do not have, we try and stop the spread of COVID as much as possible. Now, obviously, we need to make sure that the construction people fix all the necessary things that need to be fixed for them, for us to be able to supply water without necessarily having to buy other tanks in the next 2 to 3 years. And that means ensuring that we put in houses, etc., whatever. I've forgotten the name. Anyway, that water gets done through not the pumps, but necessarily, but through all other.
Why you seem to
Miss Squire, you are breaking. Perhaps what you can do is unmute your video and then continue.
Yeah, we lost the speaker now.
Yeah, Squire, unmute your video and then
my
start.
Video is
yes. Unmute your video and then continue. You still have a challenge.
Yeah, Squire, I'm listening to you.
The chairperson also is having the same challenges. If you can ask Mrs. Squire, yes, he has unmuted his video now, and let's see what is it that will happen.
Okay, thank you very much. Squire, just unmute your video. You still seem to have it on. Turn your video off, Squire, and keep your voice open. And as you wrap up, if you could also just make sure that you make reference to the graduate training program. There was a question raised by the chair at the end around graduates. If you could just brief the committee on the graduate program.
Okay. Let me start with the graduate program very quickly. We do take almost about 150 graduate trainees every year. We have trained a number of them. We have actually surprised everybody because we produce more engineers and scientists in the department. And as a result, if you look at the performance of CS, we have produced more engineers and scientists in the department. We spend a lot of money on them every year, and we take them up from and train them up with universities. I will provide the statistics to score on the achievements. And our students are doing very well throughout the whole country and throughout the world, wherever they go. And as I said earlier on, and I don't know which part you didn't hear, so I'll repeat. There are 7,865 employees in the department, 470 posts to be filled. Of the 470 posts to be filled, about 179 of them, of the posts that are filled, are senior management employees. We still have vacancies in senior management employees, but we're not filling them up because we have a new structure. So we have requested employees in the senior management, all of them, to place themselves or choose three positions in which they want to be placed on the new structure. We hope to finish that within the next few days, and then we will then be able to know which posts remain vacant and which posts we need to fill in that regard. The
Squire, you're starting to repeat yourself. I think you've already covered that ground. Just move on.
Okay. And then I did cover the construction employees. I did cover what? The unfunded, that there are 470. And that will fill all those posts within the next 6 months, as far as we're concerned.
Squire, if you could just address the committee on the fact that we had to surrender some COE during the current year, which has gone to COVID, and what impact that might have on the filling of posts. You recall the 50 million that has been shifted into COVID from the COE. Just talk to that, please.
Yes, I've already spoken to it, Trevor. Said we had 747 unfilled vacancies. We have reduced them to 470 posts that need to be filled, that are funded, that we will fill this year.
Okay, thank you very much. Chair, I think I'll just check on my list while the next speaker is talking, just to check that we have covered all of the questions from the honourable members. I've got one DDG to come in, the last DDG to come in. Leonardo, are you there? Can you hear me? If you could come in and address the infrastructure related questions, and I will just prompt you if you leave any of them out. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Leonardo. I'm just going to give a response to some of the questions on the infrastructure side as far as Program 3 is concerned.
Leonardo, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Honorable Chair, Acting Chair. Leonardo, if you could just introduce yourself to the committee as to who you are, how long you've been in the department, and what your role is, and then go into the questions. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Trevor. Honorable members, I'm Leonardo Manis, and I am responsible for the Program 3, which is the infrastructure runs in the department in the interim. I've been in the department since the 18th of January 1998 in engineering capacity. I'm going to start answering yourselves as far as the questions that were posed in this space. In the RBIC performance analysis that is required in terms of those serial non-performing municipalities, it is obviously information that we will provide rather in writing, because for the list of the list we need to assess in terms of performance over the past 5 years, and we will provide that to the honourable members in writing. In terms of the question that was posed on the tanks that are not filled with water, we have joined hands with municipalities, because as honourable members would understand that the function of supplying water services to in the areas of jurisdiction remains the accountability and the responsibility of municipalities. The department, as a national department, has moved into this space with rapid pace during the COVID period to assist and support municipalities. And we have received great cooperation from municipalities, assisting us with the siting of where tanks have to be placed in the first place. Also, as far as the monitoring is concerned of the service in terms of filling the tanks itself as well. We have to keep in mind that in the country currently, as far as national space is concerned, there's about 18,653 tanks placed in its totality. Not all of these have been placed with the COVID intervention, of which a COVID intervention has about just less than 8,000 tanks that have been placed through the COVID intervention. And some of the other tanks have been placed through drought intervention or even other other initiatives that has been in the same space. However, all of these tanks have been used to ensure that we actually put water in it. So when tanks are running dry, it is reported to the municipalities first, but the department is also trying to assist in that area. We have asked our implementing agents to give us a proper reporting on it, and because of the fact is that some of it are being reported by community members to our hotline. Others are reported directly to the municipalities, but the service of tankering is continued. We agree that the tankering service is a very expensive form of service and is not sustainable in terms of the long term. However, this intervention was an intervention for the interim, and our COVID-19 phase two intervention will be focusing more on the space of source development, which means that where we will explore the connection of tanks to boreholes or to well springs, even surface water as far as water mains are concerned, where possible. So that, and we've also worked with our water services infrastructure grant, where we have communicated to municipalities to reprioritize at least 20% of the WSIC allocations to contribute to the COVID phase two implementation of getting these tanks connected to a proper, more formalized form of water services. In terms of the Vaal River intervention, the cost of that project was in the order of 1.3 billion. But what has been done thus far, a lot of the sewer collection system had to be cleared, because that was one of the biggest things that have caused the unhealthy environment for the communities that live in the Sibukeng area. And there, 25 kilometers of the 27 kilometers of pipeline have been cleared to date. 379 manholes have been also cleared. 46 manhole covers have been replaced. And the clearing of those sewer connections have actually seen that there was a huge increase of influent into the wastewater treatment works at Sibukeng. Before this intervention, we only had 80 megaliters per day that flew into the wastewater treatment works. Today, we are having 120 megaliters per day flowing into the treatment works, which actually means that we, at least in the environment of collection, we have improved the living conditions and the health of that community. With the 50 tons of rubble that was also removed out of the system, and in the Richspruit side, as far as the wastewater treatment works are concerned, we've increased that inflow into that wastewater treatment works from 19 megaliters per day to 43 megaliters per day. So which means that there has been significant impact in the work that has been done to date as far as this intervention is concerned. As far as the Mzumvubu project is concerned, we are busy with we have actually taken site with the contractor. The COVID have had an impact on all our construction sites, basically, especially as far as the material delivery is concerned. But for the advanced works, we have the contractor on site. They took site. We moved plant to Ntabalanga area. But what is most significant here is that the department is ready to implement the advanced works, which is of stage one of this project, to ensure that we can get the plant that is to do the construction of this project, it can easily have access to the construction site. What is obviously also quite important to note is that this project forms part of the Presidential Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium, and which means that there's an exploration to see how government can be assisted through investment to ensure that the other stages of this project can go ahead. As far as the bucket eradication project is concerned, we have progressed well in the Northern Cape area, but I just need to give the background in terms of toilets being built. More than 99% of those structures that were identified, of buckets have been identified at the original staging or conceptualization of this program. All the toilet substructures have been built except for in the town of Campbell, which is, forms less than 1% of the original target that was set. However, to get all of these toilets connected to a sewer main, because there was a decision taken not to use dry sanitation at that stage, and we had to have it connected to a waterborne system, it meant that we had to connect these built bulk systems to either bring water to the toilet or to build bulk systems to carry the wastewater away from the toilets. And just to give you, honorable members, to give you an indication in terms of how the impact has been as far as the difficulty around the engineering part is concerned, was that in Griquastad, we have 10 more toilets to connect to the main. It will take a pipeline of 200 meters to have this connected. But because it's limestone and you have to dig 4 meters deep, it is extensive engineering exercise to get those toilets connected. In the Free State, we have been affected with the delivery of material, but that is now progressing slowly as certain of the industries are taking back to site. The contractors on site, and we are targeting to actually complete this this whole bucket eradication program within this financial year. Honorable Chair, I think that I have covered, I'm sure the acting DG can indicate if there are areas that I have missed through the responses that was provided.
Leonardo, the ones that you need to just look at is...
Lost the speaker now.
Yes, continue acting, DG. Mr. Manas.
It looks like
the acting DG has lost connection.
Okay, sir.
Were you done?
I was just not sure. I wanted to hear from the acting DG if it was. There were others that I still need to, other questions I need to answer, but we lost him now, but I'm done for now, honorable member.
Okay, what we will do then, colleagues, while the acting DG is trying to reconnect, we still have other items that we have to fine tune, but can we get if there are any of you honorable members who has got a 1 minute bite?
Thank you, Chair.
I will take a maximum of 5.
Thank you,
Chair. Mr. B says he's trying to connect. He lost connection, he's trying to connect.
Okay.
I'm just conveying that message, Chair.
Okay, sure. Who wants to have a bite?
Chairperson.
Kaiso.
And Dennis Joseph also.
Kaiso.
Dennis Joseph.
There's Dennis.
Sheikh Imam.
There's Kaiso.
Sheikh Imam.
There's Sheikh. 3, ne? So we've got 3. Okay.
Sorry, Mtlangwini.
And the last one? Then it means you are 4. Can Honorable Joseph come in?
Thank you, Chairperson, and I want to thank all the acting and staff DGs for their responses. My first question, Chairperson, and this is now for the DG. It's not for France, but it's about France. I noted France saying he was Moache. He was acting for 2 years, so I would like someone senior up, the minister or the DG, to explain why is someone acting for 2 years while there's vacancies. I don't expect him to answer that. Then I would like to know from Emily, the 2019-20 financial year, you recovered 966,000 or 9,000 officials were charged. I'm not sure if you talk about trained officials or charged officials, but you made a statement about 900 officials. Not sure what it was. And then on Mr. Singh, the mines. What is the role of the mines in polluting rivers, and what action are you taking? And how are you doing with clearing the catchment areas before the water get to the dams? Because that was very critical during the drought in the Western Cape, we discovered at the time. Departments are not cleaning the catchment areas, which means you lose a lot of water in the dams. And my last question...
Thank you, Honorable Joseph. Honorable Kaiso.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and my apology. I could not switch in properly because I was driving, but the gadget was on, so I could not switch properly. My apology. I just want to get from water and sanitation these two questions. What is the problem in Kwakwa? The Sterkfontein Dam has got a lot of water, but that place has got a history of lack of enough water, supply of water. What is the timeline of ensuring that the region is well supplied with water in Kwakwa? Because I want to believe that there are a number of dams within the Sterkfontein Dam itself. So, so many people have been coming in and going out there, but one does not have a good sense that at what point is that area actually going to be, the project is going to complete. And then secondly, is the issue of, I think the issue of inflow into the river has been covered at the...
at the farm.
At the Vaal River, yes.
Yeah.
Vaal River. So I just wanted to know the consequence. Have you got the culprit into the book, or just it's just a story about it? Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Kai. So, Honorable Sheikh, man.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm very, very disappointed, Chair, because this department has not answered one of my questions. Feels like I'm in a movie house. Now, let me start by saying repeatedly I've been complaining for 4 years. DGs and DDGs are coming to me from this department and not willing to address the challenge that I spoke about that issue that we went and identified in Mount Halo. And some of these people have been there since 1998 or whatever it is. They're not willing to do anything about it. If you look, Chair, they ignored it totally. Not a single one of them were willing to respond to it, Chair. But let me go further, Chair. They talk about the Rand water issue. That's not the question we ask. They say it's an entity of the state. Many others are entity of the state. We ask specifically, why did you give it to Rand water? And they are now saying Rand water mainly functions in the Gauteng Northwest area, but you deliver water to the rest of the country, tankers and whatever it is. So they needed to answer that, and they didn't do that. Then, Chair, the other thing is this. We've asked them when we established...
Honorable Sheikh.
Yes, Chair.
Your minute is done, but you can take mine.
Take mine. We asked them about what we heard about the schools, where 30% of the water was still not delivered to tankers, were not delivered to the schools. That's why there's a problem in the schools. They have not. We spoke about the trading industry, where they agreed that they were going to talk to each other to create an industry. So these are goods we use every day. And contracts are standing. They choose not to answer those at all. And Chair, the DG, and I'm not talking about the acting DG of the acting DG. I'm talking about the acting DG said to us when we met a year ago that there is a problem with quality capacity in the department. That is why, that is what he admitted, and he was very clear and honest about it. Now, they're not doing anything about it, Chair, but these people are deliberately coming here and not wanting to respond to us, Chair. Now, you're talking about corruption, and many of our colleagues have spoke about it. They're not serious about it. We gave them one item to deal with. They're not willing to do it.
Thank you.
The Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Ntlangwini.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I fully agree with Honorable Sheikh, and this is one of the few times that I would agree with him, but I agree with him on this one. Chair, the department haven't responded adequately to majority of the issues, one. Number two, Chair, that is why precisely I've asked for the minister to be here, so that we can get some form of insight, Chair, what is some of the challenges from the political health self. And then lastly, Chair, on the last one, there were mentioned of 20 cases that are criminal cases. Can we please get that on email, and the amounts? What amounts does those people have looted from the department? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, colleagues. Look, I'm not sure if the acting DG is back. I cannot see here. Darren, can you assist? Is the acting DG back?
Yes, sir.
He is back.
Yes, Chair.
Look, what I want to suggest, colleagues, is that starting from the first of the four of you who spoke, acting DG, it's clear that members feel that they have not been adequately answered. So what I suggest is that you, together with Darren, allow honorable MPs to give you a list of these questions which they feel that they have not been adequately answered, starting with this question on corruption. Because look, Acting DG, without wasting much of time, we have only now 1 minute before we get to another item. There is this perception that there is corruption in the department. Please start there when you answer. But then within 2 minutes or so, because we are still with a minute, you can sum up your presentation and the responses. But as I'm saying, if colleagues, you agree with me, that please file all these questions with Darren. We can give Darren and yourselves a maximum of 7 days so that these can be then forwarded to the ministry, after which then we'll ask the ministry to respond within 30 days. We'll take it from there then, if after 30 days there isn't a response which is adequate. Can I then give the acting DG your 2 minutes, Acting DG?
Chair, Honorable Mlenzana, thank you very much. Sorry, I lost connection there. We've had Eskom issues and it just dropped out there. My apology for that. Chair, I've listened to your response there, and certainly I will work with Darren to identify those issues which weren't adequately addressed. And we'll get back to you on those in writing. Just at the time of when I lost connection, I wanted to just touch on the schools program, which Honourable Sheikh Iman had raised. And I must just indicate that Rand Water, in terms of the schools water supply program, are but one of four implementing agents appointed by the Department of Basic Education. I join into the meetings every morning at about 6 o'clock. And from the information that I have from Rand Water and what's reported to the meeting, Rand Water are certainly do not have any schools that are without water. So I cannot answer for the other implementing agents, because it is a DBE program and Rand Water are one of the implementing agents. But I will certainly supply you with the spreadsheet indicating the status of the Rand Water part of that intervention. And I was also going to acknowledge that we didn't respond to the question raised on the oversight visit to Mount Aleph. I do not have that information at hand to me right now, and I will respond to that in writing. The other one, Chair, which we didn't respond to adequately was the issue of the Bizana Dam. I need to just follow up on that one. I don't have an adequate response, which I can give right now on the Bizana Dam. I did hear the queries raised around the corruption cases and the need for more detail to be provided on that, and that will be done as well. I hope I've picked up on the issues that the members were indicating we weren't hadn't addressed adequately enough. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Acting DG. A colleague, today is Thursday. Do we agree with me that by Thursday next week, we would have filed all these questions, after which then we would allow Darren and Acting DG to, between the two of them, work on this such that within 30 days after, we would have received this. Are you happy with that, colleagues?
Fine, Chair. That's okay, Chair. Thank you.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, Darren.
Mr. Mlanzana, 30 days is not going to help because some of those responses would have are supposed to be included in the report, and by that time the report would have long been adopted and in the House. So 30 days is still way too long.
What do you suggest? Why don't you suggest then that by Monday, this coming Monday, members would have filed questions?
Yes, Chair. Monday, members would have filed the questions, and next Friday, the department can give all the responses, because next week, Friday, is public hearings, and we are drafting the report after that. If the responses come afterwards, we wouldn't have included it in the report. Thank you.
Colleagues, let's take Darren's advice. Are you happy with that?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, Fiso.
One thing, Chairperson, let's request the department to say the information that is readily available, which was picked about on the slide, they can just not wait for that for the 7 days or so. Because, for an example, on the issue of the procurement of the water tanks and the cost and the column that members requested that be added in that slide, on the detailed cost of the water tanks, that information, I suppose it can't wait for, because it's readily available in the books of the department. So that information that is available can be provided without waiting for Darren. Thanks, Chair.
Let's take it as done.
Yeah, like the legacy project.
Thank you, Acting DG, for this interaction. Please pass our regards to your political leadership and our concerns as they are to both the Minister and the Deputy Minister. You are free to leave us, but we are not chasing you out of the meeting if you want to remain, because we've got just 15 minutes or so to wind down the business of the committee.
Honourable Mlanzana, thank
you. Yes, sorry.
Honourable Mlanzana, thank you very much. We will depart from the meeting, and I've taken note of the time frames, and we will certainly respond to those issues which don't require any contact with Darren. We'll deal with those in the meantime, but we will accede to your instruction with regard to meeting the time frames. Thank you very much, and if I could greet all the honourable members, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
Team, thank you.
Thanks, colleagues. We have. Let's go back to our agenda, Darren. Darren.
Mr. Mlanzana. Yes, I'm here.
In front of me, I have got minutes of the 10th of July.
That's correct, sir.
Can we deal with that?
Yes, Chairperson, we can deal with that.
Okay. Are you letting us? Can you let us? Can you flag them on the screen?
Let me try.
Colleagues, can we, while this is trying, we try to open ours so as to try to chase time?
Okay, I'm having a problem here with opening the Word document. So, unfortunately,
Chairperson,
I won't be able to show it.
Honorable Joseph?
Yeah, no, Chairperson, I have the minutes with me, in front of me, and I would like to move that the minutes, in my view, is a correct reflection of what was discussed and recorded, and I move that we accept the minutes, adopt the minutes of the 10th of July, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Joseph. Any seconder?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, who's there?
Yes, Kaiso.
Yes, Honorable Kaiso.
No, I want to second Honorable Joseph on the minutes that have been submitted as true records.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone against? I don't think there is. There isn't. From my side, Darren, we have come to the end of the agenda, not unless you have announcements on your side?
Nothing here, except we are meeting tomorrow at 9. The link will follow after this meeting.
Thank you so much.
I hope there's no blood shedding.
Yes, let's go pray. Let's go pray. or
look at me sleeping in the dark.
Honorable Peters. What I want to suggest to colleagues is that, as we know now, that there is this question of load shedding, which has come to stay with us. If we can try locking in, say, at least 30 minutes before, so that if we struggle, we try to drive towards areas where we'd be able to lock in. Otherwise, there's nothing much that we can do. I can see right now that Honorable Peters is speaking from the dark.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable members. The meeting stands adjourned. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Chair.
Keep warm.
Good night.